And the gospel lesson for today from the gospel according to St. John, one of the church's favorite stories because it is a picture of Jesus intimately involved in the life of people and bringing great joy. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That story is proof that Jesus was neither a Methodist nor a Baptist. Denver Moore was born in rural Louisiana in January of 1937. And after several tragic events in his young life, he went to live with an aunt and uncle who were sharecroppers on an old plantation. In 1960, Denver hopped on a freight train, and over the next 40 years or so, his only permanent home was the Angola prison, where he pulled a 10-year sentence. He spent his other years riding the rails as a hobo or drifting, or for at least 20 years, living homeless on the streets of Fort Worth. Ron Hall, who is no relation to me, grew up in Texas with all of the privileges accorded to white middle-class males. He attended and graduated from TCU. He developed a career selling municipal bonds and later developed a lucrative art business. He was an international art dealer that made him a wealthy man. Ron also married Debbie, the love of his life. But when Debbie discovered that she had cancer, she was determined to find some project that would give her life meaning. Debbie knew that one thing she did not want was to miss the call of God in her life. And that's how she found the Union Gospel Mission, which is where Debbie met Denver and introduced him to Ron. Ron and Denver developed an unlikely and perhaps unusual friendship, one that continued even after Debbie's death. And they told their story in the best-selling book, Same Kind of Different as Me. The title comes from Denver, who said, "I used to spend a lot of time worrying that I was different from other people, even from other homeless folks. Then, after I met Miss Debbie and Mr. Ron, I worried that I was so different from them that we wasn't ever going to have no kind of future. But I found out everybody's different. The same kind of different as me. We're all just regular folk walking down the road God done set in front of us. We're all different, just the same kind of different as me." In today's super stratified, and I'm tempted to say still segregated world, this world, even after the life and ministry of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, the fact that a rich, white, college-educated art dealer and a poor, black, street-smart homeless man could be friends is quite remarkable. The fact that these two very different people could be friends in our highly stratified world is remarkable because we have carefully constructed our world to minimize the possibility of encountering anyone so dramatically different as Denver and Ron are. We do this in the way we zone our neighborhoods, and the way we locate businesses, the way we criminalize certain forms not only of behavior, but also often of poverty. There just aren't a lot of places in our carefully constructed world where people of different races and colors and classes and creeds can come together on common ground. So in a sense, it's not surprising at all that Denver and Ron would meet together at the Union Gospel Mission, a place dedicated to living out Christ's commandment to feed those who are hungry and clothe those who are naked and give shelter to those who have no place to lay their head. In a world of color-conscious neighborhoods and class-conscious colleges and creed-conscious political parties, the church and church-affiliated institutions like the Union Gospel Mission may be the only place where differences among people can coexist. In fact, when you think about it, the church may be the only place in today's world where differences are not only welcomed, but where differences are received and embraced as a gift from God. You see, as the church, we understand that differences among people are not problems to be solved, but, as I said, gifts to be received and embraced. On the one hand, there are those differences of race and color and class that some politicians today would exploit in order to get votes. And to be honest with you, the Apostle Paul does not deny the reality of those differences at all. Those so-called binaries that we use to divide ourselves from each other, black and white, rich and poor, liberal and conservative, gay and straight, they don't matter. Not in an ultimate sense, not in God, because according to Paul, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those binaries of Paul's own day, those differences of color and creed and class, even of gender, Paul says, don't matter, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's the key phrase, one in Christ Jesus. Oneness or unity is part of what it means to belong to God, for God himself is one. And yet even within the unity of the Godhead, whom we have praised this morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, there is also diversity. For God is one being in the three persons of the Trinity, whom we name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, is the key to being the different kind of same as me. Within every human community, whether that human community is called the United States or the state of Texas or the city of Dallas, there will be differences. And that's true for the church community as well. For St. Paul says that within the church there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings and programs and administration, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. No one commented last week on my assertion that all of us receive a gift from the Holy Spirit in our baptism, so either this comes as no surprise to you, this is old hat, or this is so shocking a revelation as to stun you into silence. But my friends, it is the truth. All of us have been given a gift, a different kind of gift, and that from God. And that is why there are varieties of gifts. As St. Paul says, to one person, God might give the gift of wise counsel, and to another person, God might give the gift of knowledge or clear understanding. Other people might receive the gift of having simple trust, while yet others might receive the gift of healing the sick or having miraculous powers or speaking in tongues. The list could go on and on. The point is, there is a wonderful variety of gifts given to an equally wonderful variety of people. Now, to be clear, these are gifts from God, not natural propensities that people possess from birth or from heredity. We don't have them as innate human capacities simply waiting to be activated through a little human effort. They are gifts given by God to God's people and allotted to each individual person by the Spirit to be given back to God in service and praise. This is why difference, diversity, variety in the church and in the world is not a problem to be solved, as some politicians would maintain, but rather a gift to be received and embraced. Because all of that variety of gifts come from a common source. All of our gifts come from God. And all of our gifts have a common purpose, which is to serve the common good. Of course, in a country divided as ours is, it can be hard to say or even see what is the common good. We might agree in principle that everyone ought to have access to health care, but we might disagree about the merits of Obamacare. We might want fewer people to die from gun violence, but disagree about gun control. We might dream, as Martin Luther King Jr. did, that all people are indeed equal. We might agree that all people ought to have equal opportunity in school or business or life, but we might disagree about affirmative action and how we realize that dream. So, my friends, if we are to achieve the common good, if indeed we are to fulfill God's dream of the kingdom of God, if we are to realize our common aim, we need the different gifts that God gives to each of us. We need the wise counsel of those who have received the gift of wisdom. We need the learned work of those who have received the gift of knowledge. We need the confidence of those whose gift is simple trust and faith. We need those whose gifts are for healing or doing miracles to bring about the healing not only of our physical bodies, but also of the body politic. We need all of these gifts in their wonderful variety in order to realize the common good. My friends, I need your gifts, and I think you need mine, because I'm the different kind of same as you, and you're the different kind of same as me. For we have all received different gifts and different services and different ministries, but they all come from the same God. And our call is to offer our gifts back to God in God's service and God's praise. Then thanks be to God for the wonderful diversity of gifts and people who worship and serve here. Amen.